Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. This is the word of the Lord. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority." He answered them, "I also will ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.' Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 20, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders question the authority of Jesus. And last Lord's Day, we considered Jesus' response. And we saw how, in the end, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders refused to acknowledge the authority of Christ. For they loved their own authority more than God. And so they were not willing to submit their authority to God's Son. And now in verse 9, Jesus tells the people a parable concerning these things. a parable about a people who attempt to take God's kingdom for themselves, and in so doing, set themselves against God and against His anointed, against God and against His Son. The parable begins with a man planting a vineyard. And this image comes straight out of the Old Testament, from a somewhat familiar passage, from Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read, "Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes." In Isaiah chapter 5, the owner of the vineyard, he does everything right. There was nothing more that he could do for his vineyard that he had not done. And yet his vineyard, it did not yield good grapes, but rather it yielded wild grapes. It did not yield good fruit. The fruit that it did yield was worthless. In Isaiah chapter 5, the owner of the vineyard is the Lord, and the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." In the Old Testament, the people of God are compared to a vineyard that belongs to the Lord, a vineyard that was planted by the Lord, a vineyard that was cared for by the Lord. And in the Old Testament, the house of Israel is called this vineyard of the Lord. And so in Luke chapter 20, when Jesus speaks of a man who planted a vineyard, we are immediately to understand that this man is the Lord, and his vineyard is the house of Israel. And as in Isaiah chapter 5, in Luke chapter 20, the owner of the vineyard seeks the fruit of his vineyard. Though there is a difference. In Luke chapter 20, the owner of the vineyard is said to have gone into a far country, which connects this parable to the parable which we read in Luke chapter 19, which concerned a nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. And as in that parable, so also in this parable, the far country is the heavenly country. And as the owner of the vineyard dwells in that far country, he hires tenants to care for his vineyard in his place. And while we might understand the tenants of the vineyard to be the people of Israel in general, it would have been especially true that the tenants were the leaders of Israel, those whom God had appointed to care for his people, those whom God had appointed to care for his vineyard. And this fits with the context of Luke chapter 20, as Jesus has just been rejected by the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, the leaders of the house of Israel. And so in the parable of the vineyard, we are to understand that the vineyard is the vineyard of the Lord. And further, that the vineyard itself is the house of Israel. And further, that the tenants in this vineyard are the people of Israel, especially the rulers of Israel. And so it is important to note that in the parable, the rulers are only tenants. The vineyard does not truly belong to them. And their authority is derived from the owner of the vineyard. Their rule is not meant to last forever, but only for a time. And that makes the parable all the more relevant, as the chief priests and the scribes and the elders have already indicated that they are unwilling to submit their rule to the rule of Christ. What then will happen? What will they do to him now that the owner of the vineyard has come in the person of his son? But in the parable, the owner of the vineyard does not immediately send his son. He does not send his son until after he has sent his servants. When the time had come, when the time for harvest had come, the owner sends his servants to his vineyard again to receive some of its fruit, fruit that belonged to him. But the tenants of the vineyard despise the owner's authority over the vineyard, and they refuse to give him any of its fruit. They beat his servants, and they treat them shamefully. They wound them, and they cast them out empty-handed. And here, in the parable, Jesus is summarizing the history of Israel. He is summarizing the history of its response to the authority of God. The history of the way in which it treated the servants of God. We read something very similar as what we read in this parable. We read something very similar at the end of 2 Chronicles, in which the Lord explains, in summary, why he has cast his people out of the land of promise, why he has sent them into exile. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 and 16. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy. In the parable, the servants of the owner, they are the prophets of the Lord, whom the Lord sends to his people again and again, whom they mocked, whom they treated shamefully, at whom they scoffed, whom they beat, and in despising their words, they were not despising the words of men, but the words of God. But in the parable, something happens that did not happen in 2 Chronicles. Something that did not happen in the Old Testament. Something that did not happen until the New Testament. The owner of the vineyard sends his son to the vineyard. The owner of the vineyard sends his beloved son. For the beloved son is the heir of his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard. The owner of the vineyard sends his son, whom he loves. Perhaps they will listen to him. The owner of the vineyard sending his son, whom he loves. It is the Lord sending his son, whom he loves, of whom he said, "This is my beloved. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." The owner sends his son to the vineyard as the Lord sent his son to his people, to receive from them the fruit that belonged to him, the fruit of repentance. But what happens in the parable? Does the vineyard at last yield its fruit? It does not. And more than this, the tenants of the vineyard, they conspire against the Lord and against his son. For they think to take the inheritance for themselves. They think to take the vineyard for themselves and to use the vineyard of the Lord for their own purpose and for their own pleasure. to establish for themselves a kingdom and power and glory. And so the tenants of the vineyard conspire to kill the owner of the vineyard's son. Just as the chief priests and the scribes and the elders were conspiring to destroy the Lord's son. And in the parable, not only do they conspire to kill him, but they achieve their purpose. They throw him out of the vineyard. And they kill him. In this parable, Jesus again foretells what he had said to his disciples. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. This the chief priests and scribes and elders sought to do, and this they will do. They will cast him out and kill him. And so Jesus ends the parable with a question that especially concerns them, the leaders of Israel. What will the owner of the vineyard do to the tenants? He will come and destroy them and give the vineyard to others. But hearing this, they were astonished. Hearing this, they said, "Surely not." But looking directly at them, he said to them, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." The tenants achieve their purpose in killing the owner of the vineyard's son. But the inheritance does not become theirs. For Jesus will not only be killed, but he will also be raised. And though his enemies sought to take from him the kingdom that belonged to him by destroying him, through that very death he gains victory over them, and the vineyard becomes his. And the kingdom and the power and the glory becomes his forever. The stone rejected becomes the cornerstone. The stone that was rejected has become the cornerstone. This also was foretold by Isaiah. Following Isaiah chapter 5, in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, "But the Lord of hosts He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to the house of Israel. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. The stone of offense and the rock of stumbling, it is Christ. It is Jesus who is the Lord. All who oppose him will in the end be broken and crushed by him. But those who believe in him who trust in him, who submit to him, they will never be put to shame. Again, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And so, once again, a decision is set before you. Submit to Christ. Or be broken by Christ. For the pride of man cannot bear the weight of his judgment. Submit to him, or you will be broken by him. The pride of the chief priests and the scribes and the elders kept them from submitting to Christ. But sometimes it is not pride that keeps us from submitting to Christ. Sometimes it is fear. For we may acknowledge that we ought to submit to him, that all authority and power in heaven and earth belong to him. But we may still wonder, is he good? Is he trustworthy? Is he true? Consider then who it is to whom you are called to submit. It is the one who came to give himself up for you. To lay down his life for you. His name is faithful and true. His rule is good. His yoke is easy. His burden light. Submit to him, and you will not be put to shame. To him belong all authority and power. In him all goodness is found. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray.